Days go by. Up and visit Merle. Question: where did you get all of those good singers in your church? I said I taught them, I trained them, and now they sound pretty good. If you'll take your Bibles, please, this morning, and turn with me to John chapter 14, John's Gospel, the 14th chapter, page number 1135. If you have a King James Scofield Bible, John chapter 14. Verse 2 will be our text this morning. Our Lord is speaking, and he says, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." Let's bow in prayer together. Father, it's been a sweet time here in the services today, and things do get sweeter and sweeter. The more we know Jesus, the more we walk with him. So we thank you for that. Now I pray that you'll help us to put things out of our minds that we may be thinking about for later on in the day, our activities, and bind Satan from our minds and from our midst for these next few minutes, and help the folks to concentrate on the preaching of your word. Pray you bless your word as it goes forth. I pray you'll save those who may be lost, reclaim those who may be backslidden. And there are many, many needs represented by these folks today, and I pray that you'll meet those needs with what's been done and the preaching of your word. Thank you. It never returns void. Bless your word now in Jesus' name. Amen. Is there really a place called heaven? I'm sure all of you from time to time have asked yourselves that question. Well, I'm happy to inform you this morning, just in case you're wondering if there is a real place called heaven, that there is a real place called heaven. And this morning, I'm going to briefly give you five reasons why I can say that. Reason number one, there's a place called heaven because the human soul has always longed for such a place. You can go back as far as history will take you, and you'll find that to be true. The Egyptians had a heaven they called Yeru. You can go to the pyramids today and find inscriptions on their walls that were written 3,000 years before Jesus walked the Galilean hillside. There was once an old heathen by the name of Clembrotus who read what Plato had to say about heaven, and he ran and threw himself down a precipice that he might die and enter into that blessed life. The Indians had a heaven they called the Happy Hunting Grounds. When it comes my time to die, I want something concrete to put my hope in. I have a longing in my heart this morning, and you have a longing in your heart this morning for a better place than this place that we live in this morning. The place that we live in this morning is getting more wicked, more vile, more immoral, more sinful with every passing day. I don't know if you read this in the paper this past few days, but it just troubled me greatly. The title of it is Tequila Found at Middle School. An eighth grader at Battleground Middle School was arrested Thursday after allegedly bringing tequila to school that he and three other friends mixed with Coca-Cola. The boy was arrested on suspicion of possession of alcoholic beverages. All four were students, were ages 13 and 14. 13 and 14 years of age, they're barely out of diapers. And they're making this strong drink and mixing it with Coke. I wonder where they got it. I wonder where their parents are. We all long for a place where there will be no more pain or heartache or weeping or dying or final goodbyes and crippled limbs and fading eyesight and increasing deafness and deteriorating bodies. Some of us in this crowd this morning, we have more earthly life behind us than what we have before us. You say, "Well, I just don't believe in heaven." You may not believe in it, but your soul longs for it, and you wish you somehow could believe in it. Yes, I believe in heaven because my soul longs for it. The second reason why I believe there's a heaven is because the human soul has always felt that there was such a place. Little boy was flying a kite one day, and the kite was so high in the sky that it could not be seen. Someone came by and they asked the boy where the kite was. And he pointed up to the sky and said, "It's up there." They said to him, "How do you know it's up there? You can't see it." And the boy answered, I know it's up there because I can feel it tug. And I guess in some similar way, that's one reason I believe heaven is up there. I feel the tug of it in my soul. A third reason I know there's a heaven is because heaven is a needful place for the human soul. No matter how much you learn in this life, it's just like a small grain of sand in the mighty desert. Think of the mysteries that are yet to be revealed. Think of the riddles that are yet to be solved. Think of all the questions that all of us have about things in the Bible, about life and death and hereafter. We want answers, but no one can answer them. Heaven alone must finish what life must leave unfinished here. And then the fourth reason why I know there is a heaven is because justice demands there is such a place. Things are not right down here, but God planned it that way in the first place. But man, like the fool that he's always been, messed up the whole thing. And if heaven is here upon this earth, as many claim, and if hell is here on this earth, as many others claim, then everything is totally out of balance, and there will never, ever be any justice. If there is no heaven, what recompense did Paul have for the stones and stripes that stung him almost to the death, and then the axe that later on cut off his head? And what about all those early Christians who were thrown into the lions' dens and eaten up alive? And what about all the other martyrs who have given up their lives for the cause of Jesus Christ and the hope of heaven, where justice will be rewarded? What about them? And why did Jesus allow himself to be crucified on a cruel Roman cross if there's no heaven where one day justice could step in and straighten things out? And then the fifth reason why I know there's a heaven, and this is the most important reason of all, and that's because God says there is one. Now, he says it all through the 66 books of the Bible, but because of time, let's just look at one instance. Go with me to the 115th Psalm, Psalm 115, and you'll find that on page 656 of your Scofield Bible. 115th Psalm and verses 15 and 16. Ye are blessed of the Lord, which made heaven and earth. The heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's, but the earth he hath given to the children of men. I would rather have God's word about anything than the opinion of the greatest minds of all time put together. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. He said, rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Now that we have established that there is a heaven, I'm sure you'll want to know something about it. Paul was caught up to the third heaven, you remember, and he found it impossible to express what he saw. Wouldn't it be great this morning if God would pull back the drapes to heaven and let us get a small glimpse of that beautiful city of gold? Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. If Jesus went anywhere, he must have gone somewhere. He could not have gone nowhere. Heaven is a place. It's a prepared place, and you have to be a prepared people in order to get in. If you are not prepared, you will be sent to the place where all unprepared people go, and that's to live with the devil and his crowd forever, and nobody wants that. Some of you may not be prepared. Some of you have made preparation by receiving Christ as your Savior, but you have not received him as yet as your Lord. I'm afraid some of you are not going to like heaven very much. You want to know why? Because you won't be able to take off weekends and miss church, as multitudes are doing this weekend. Some of you won't like heaven because you only endure church, and heaven is going to be something like church. Church is something that you attend if there's nothing more exciting going on. Some of you won't like heaven because there won't be any ball games on the Lord's Day to keep you away from church. No, some of you are just not preparing for heaven. And you're going to have to make some adjustments in order for you to enjoy heaven. Many of us are not going to have to make any adjustments because we want love being in church. We want to be here every time the doors are open. Amos chapter 4 and verse 12 says, prepare to meet thy God. Now that verse is just not for the unsaved, but that's for the saved also. And I wish some of you this morning would prepare to meet God by receiving Christ as your Savior, and others of you would receive him as the Lord of your life. Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. They are just as real as the rooms in your homes. The house you live in was made by human hands, but the mansions in heaven were made without hands. Turn your Bibles with me, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, page 1233. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Look at verse number 1, or listen carefully if you don't have a Bible. 2 Corinthians 5, 1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, and a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Now, maybe you live in a small apartment without much room. Not so with heaven. God made it plenty big enough. God is never lacking for space. When he made the universe, he didn't use the earth and the moon as a model. You talk about size. Why, this earth is so small, it's a wonder that God hasn't forgotten he ever made it. Turn with me to the 8th Psalm now, please. Psalm number 8. Psalm number 8. That's on page 602 of your King James Scofield Bible. Psalm 8. And look with me at verse number 4. 8th Psalm, verse 4. What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? You can take an auger and bore a hole into the sun and pour 1,200,000 earths like ours into it and still have room for 4 million moons to lie around on the inside edge. And you think that's big? Some of the fixed stars, like Alpha Centauri, for instance, are 5 times bigger than even the sun. And talk about size. Do you know how big old Neptune is? She's 75 times bigger than the Earth that we live on. She's close to 3 billion miles away, and you can't see her unless you look through a 40-inch telescope. Now, if that is so, then how big do you suppose the beautiful star Lyra is? It is 100,000 times farther away than Neptune, and you can see it with your own naked eye without a telescope. How far away is the sun? If we were to go downtown this afternoon and get on the Amtrak train that used to run through our city and get on board that Amtrak train, and it ran 60 miles per hour, it would take us 177 years to go from where we are this morning to the sun. And it's only 93 million miles away from us. Mercury, the nearest to the sun, whizzing around her orbit at the rate of 109,000 miles per hour. The nearest the planets are to the sun, the faster they go. There's no speed limit signs up there. And what's more amazing, there are no collisions either. And you want to know why? Because the great creator of this universe brought it all about, and he's taking care of all of it. Some clear evening, go out and look into the sky in the southwest, and you'll see the planet Venus, which is about 35 million miles further out. She swings around the sun once in 224 days, and when she gets on the other side, she is nearly twice as far away from the earth as the sun is. You and I, sitting in this room this morning, and this ball upon which we are sitting is spinning around its axis at 19 miles every second. We are spinning around the sun at the rate of 68,000 miles an hour. Thank God for gravitation. If you lived on Jupiter and you wanted to go to the sun and the spacecraft you were on was traveling 50 miles an hour, it'd only take you 9 centuries to get there. And Jupiter is our next door neighbor. In the southeastern sky is old Galileo, which is only 709 million miles away from us. It takes her 10.5 years to turn on her axis and 29 years to make the trip around the sun. And then there's Uranus, 64 times as big as the Earth and more than twice as far away as Saturn. It's over 1,780 million miles away from us. Now think about this. Put your brain in gear. If you were to begin counting and you counted to 100 every minute, and continued counting day and night without stopping, it would take you 19 years to count to 1 billion. Neptune is nearly 3 billion miles away, but the nearest star that you can see in the sky is 10,000 times farther away than that. The light that you see coming from the star Alpha Centauri is 4 times old when you see it. Light travels at a rate of 192,000 miles per second. That is pretty fast. The North Star is 14 times further away from us than Alpha Centauri. If you got into a spaceship that would cost you just 2.5 cents a mile to travel in, and you headed for the North Star, it would end up costing you a mere $8.95 trillion. Anybody out there want to sign up to go? Anybody got that much money in your bank account besides Mark? Now, all of these stats that I've just given you boggles the human mind, or it sure does mine. But when you think of them, I want you to remember that our great God and Savior some 6,000 years ago spoke all of it into existence. And in these 6,000 years, there have been billions of people born on this little planet and billions of people who have died. There are over 6.5 billion people living on this planet this present moment. And billions more will be born and billions more will die. Where is God going to put them all one day? Over in the book of Revelation, it says an angel took the measurements of heaven. It was measured to be 12,000 furlongs, the length, the height, and the breadth all equal. Now, if the world stood for 100,000 years and always had and always will have 1 billion people on it dying off every generation, that would make 3 trillion people, and this would give every one of them 177,000 cubic feet, or each one a room of 56 feet each way. And if that isn't big enough, God could send his surveying angels out and extend the boundaries another sextillion acres or so. He has no problem for room. God made heaven so beautiful. God loves beauty, or he wouldn't have put so much of it in this world. Who painted the butterfly's wing and draped the evening sun with its thousands of colors? Who put the red on the robin's breast? Who mixed the colors that gave the rose its blushing charm? And who touched the lily with its dreamy white? God did it all. He made everything beautiful, but your sin and my sin marred its beauty. Heaven is so beautiful that John went there and came back and could not describe its beauty, even though he did somewhat try in Revelation chapters 21 and 22. Heaven is a comfortable place. There won't be any more blue Mondays to wreck your week. Heaven will be one long Sabbath. There won't be any toiling, no more earning a living by the sweat of the brow as now. No more rising up in the morning at the horrible sound as the alarm clock goes off. Hippensteels and Solar Baker Funeral Home will be put out of business, as will all hospitals and clinics and nursing homes. Turn with me in your Bibles, please, in the New Testament to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, page 1213 in your Scofield Bible. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. And look at verse number 9. But as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither hath entered in the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. And then go back to Psalm 30, back in the middle of the Bible, to the 30th Psalm, and look with me at verse number 5. Psalm 30 and verse 5, page 612. For his anger endureth but a moment. In his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Heaven is a place of much activity. Can you imagine the meal times? Sitting down at the table spread for us by the angels? Each meal may take us a few hundred years to finish. No more diets, praise his dear name. No more gossiping, no more backbiting, no more criticizing, no more rotten smell of alcohol, no more filthy odor of tobacco, no lusting at pretty girls. What are we going to do when we first get there? I just want to look at Jesus and take in his awesome beauty. Looking for a mansion, that can wait. I just want to adore him for a long period of time. And then I can't wait to get reacquainted with all of my loved ones and friends and church members who are there waiting. Heaven's going to have its surprises. We're going to be surprised at some folks we never thought would make it and did, and likewise some we never thought would make it but didn't. Can you imagine looking around heaven and saying, Where is Mrs. So-and-so? I've looked all over and I can't find her. Where's Mr. So-and-so? I haven't been able to locate him since I've arrived here. Has anybody seen my son? Has anybody seen my daughter? Has anybody seen my mother? Has anybody seen my father? Has anybody seen my wife? Has anybody seen my husband? Has anybody seen old Joe? My friend that I worked with for many years, I haven't seen him. Have you seen Pastor so-and-so? Why, surely he's here. He preached salvation by works. I thought surely he would be here. And when I get there and look for you, will I be able to find you? I sure hope so. They tell the story of a girl who had a dream. And in her dream, she died and went to heaven. And an angel said to her, "Come on, Mary, I'll show you where you're to stay." On the way, they came to several beautiful buildings. Mary was informed that one was for her pastor. One was for Aunt May, the little widow. Another one was for Jerry, the garbage collector. Then they came to a very humble, plain-looking cottage. And the angel said, "Mary, this is yours." She was bitterly disappointed, and she said, "I don't want it." But the angel said, "It may not be what you want, but it's what you get." Then they told her that they had done the very best they could. He said, "You see, Mary, it's like this. We build the mansion out of the material that you have sent up. And every kind word you ever spoke, every flower you ever took to the sick, every penny you ever gave to the Lord's work, the souls you have witnessed to, we put them all together, and this is the best we could do. I'm sorry." I wonder about your mansion, what it will look like by what you have sent up thus far. Your mansion is being prepared on what you are sending up. Maybe some of you will not have a mansion up there in heaven, but instead a pit in hell, because you've never received Christ as your Lord and Savior. Better not put off this most important matter. He died on a cross and shed his precious blood so you could go to heaven. And on that great judgment morning, you'll not have any excuses. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we thank you that you've created this place we call heaven. And we thank you for all those that put their faith and trust in Christ will end up there. But you've also created a place called hell. And many will go there because they have not received Christ as their Lord and Savior. But it's not too late for some. It's not too late for some in this auditorium, but they do not know Christ. It's not too late for them, but time's passing by very quickly. And I pray if there is one here that they'll receive Christ today. I pray you'd bless the invitation as only you can do. I pray you'll help folks make decisions this morning that 100 years from now they'll be glad they made. Bless the invitation as only you can do. In Jesus' name, amen.